Whoever loves his life will lose it, but whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. In another place, whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake, said Jesus, shall find it. And I'm saying, you know, this whoever will save his life, I don't know about you all, but in my house, you know, we've been hearing from the Lord, seeking God, following the Lord for a couple of decades. And that has included preparing for trouble, because he has revealed to us trouble coming down the pike. But are we going to prepare and hoard and gather, or are we going to seek him first, abandon everything to seek him first? I believe some people are trying to save their lives. They're preparing. Little do they know, they could be at ground zero for a nuclear detonation. They could be taken out by a plague. All that preparing, all that hoarding, all that gathering, all that trying to save one's life. No, instead, surrender all to him. He said, if you'll forsake your life for mine and follow me, you'll find true life, eternal life, perpetual life. That even refers to the ever-flowing life of God. Would you like to have the life of God in earth?
Amen.
Yeah, with power and authority over your enemies. We can see an example of these words of Jesus I just shared in 1 Samuel 15. The Lord began giving me, inviting me to consider this passage nearly a year ago. 1 Samuel 15 is when the Lord told King Saul, go and destroy the Amalekites. Rid the earth of them completely and totally. Well, King Saul and his army, they went and they destroyed a lot, but they also saw many things that they thought were good, including King Agag, and they didn't wipe them off the face of the earth. They didn't rid the entire earth of them completely. King Saul and his army, they destroyed some, but they also kept what they thought was good. Bad move. And the Lord's been telling me for nearly a year now, this is in the church. And he's not pleased with that. So I'm sharing with you guys, you know, we don't want to go with what we think is good, like trying to save our life. No, forsake that. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. In 1 Samuel 15, 13, Samuel approaches Saul, and Saul says, the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. Mm-hmm. He was self-deceived. He thought he had obeyed God. This word instructions, it's in the NIV. In the King James Version, he said, I have carried out the Lord's commandments. I looked in the definition in the Hebrew text. This is one of the most broad definitions for a word I've ever seen in my more than two decades of studying God's Word. I've carried out the Lord's, in the original text, advice. If God gives you some advice, you might want to consider it a command. Song. You wake up in the middle of the night with a song. Listen, if it's not Ozzy Osbourne Crazy Train. Here, I'm saying that this commandments, instructions that Saul said, I carried out God's commands, could be likened to if God gives you advice, consider it a command. If you hear a song in the night and it's in alignment with the living word of God, walk in it. The Lord is ordering your steps. Listen, business. This is the Lord's business. This is all the meaning, the definition of this word commandment or instruction. Errand, you want to do an errand for the Lord? Hear this one. It's going to become very important in the coming year. Provision. When the Lord gives you an instruction, consider it. That's my provision. Request, sentence, or judgment. Thought. When he shares his thoughts with you, make it your command. So Samuel came, and the word of the Lord had come to Samuel. We'll skip down to verse 17. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission. Another meaning for instruction or commandment, saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites, wage war against them until you have wiped them out. Verse 19, why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God, at Gilgal. And then this is the thing the Lord has been ministering to me. I've been seeing it in the church. He's had me act on it. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord?
No obedience is king.
Now this is the NIV. The King James puts it much better. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Again, the voice of the Lord. When you hear the voice of the Lord, he's sharing his business with you. He's sharing your provision with you. In John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Amen?
Amen.
It goes on, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, or the King James. Rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. In the original text, it's referring to supernatural power of our enemy. Did you know the enemy has supernatural power? I'm talking about Satan. There's real demons with real power. They're really evil. You and I were powerless against them, apart from Jesus Christ, who conquered them all and all of our enemies. You must see yourself winning. The scripture goes on, for rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft, and arrogance or stubbornness is like the evil of idolatry or self-will. Out of the original text, self-will. Here, King Saul had led his army and they did what they wanted to do. They did not obey the voice of the Lord. In the original text, they were dull. This being dull is like the evil of idolatry. It's self-will or presumption. It's evil. We don't want to do that. When the Lord tells us to do something, we want to do it. Amen?
Amen.
I heard his voice through the night. And I declare, in the name of Jesus, America, your opulence and decadence has come to an end. You are appointed to be opulent, wealthy, and spread influence. But that's not what's happened. Instead, it's been opulence and decadence, moral decay and wickedness. And the Lord said, the time is up. It's come to an end. Hallelujah. We want to spread the goodness of God. We want the kingdom of God to propagate. Ezekiel 21. Our Lord gave me this passage on October 6, 2023. Ezekiel 21. October 6, 2023. I had a vision. And then after the vision, I'm like, what was that? Ezekiel 21. In that October 6th vision, this was the day before the attack on Israel, I saw like twin tornadoes and they were threatening. And in the vision, I said, I took authority over them. In the vision, the Lord rebuke you. You will not come here in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what happened? The storm came. The first one came, and I don't know if you've ever been near a train when it goes by real fast, or an 18-wheeler. Well, this storm came, and I was hit with the wind, but thank God in this vision my feet were on the ground. But let me tell you, I looked up. It was a tornado, like a giant tornado. I looked up. There was emphasis. Those are innocent children of God. They had been caught up in this terrible, destructive storm. And in the vision, it said, this baby of Elon Musk, what you see there is coming to America. That was October 6th. The next day, Israel was attacked. It was on Twitter, or X, we call it. I'm saying, you can humble yourself and tell it not to come here, but I'm here today declaring the word of the Lord that the opulence and the decadence has come to an end in America. Let's read this passage. The word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel 21. Son of man, set your face against Jerusalem. Wait a minute. That's city of peace. That's what Jerusalem means. Set your face against Jerusalem and preach against the sanctuary. Prophesy against the land of Israel and say to her, this is what the Lord says. I am against you. I'll draw my sword from its sheath and cut off from you both the righteous and the wicked. Because I am going to cut off the righteous and the wicked, my sword will be unsheathed against everyone from south to north. Then all people will know that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword from its sheath. It will not return again. Therefore, groan, son of man, groan before them with broken heart and bitter grief. I mean, what's it going to take to stop what's been going on? Well, the Lord said he's come to stop it. And you know what? If God decides to take home some innocent people, they belong to him anyway. The Bible teaches our very breath is on loan from God. That was a loan to me. Help me, Lord, to spend it proper. Amen? The passage goes on, verse 7. And when they ask you, why are you groaning? You shall say, because of the news that is coming. Every heart will melt with fear and every hand go limp. Every spirit will become faint and every leg will be wet with urine. It is coming. It will surely take place, declares the sovereign Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy and say, this is what the Lord says. A sword, sharpened and polished, sharpened for the slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. Now this is the passage he gave me October 6th, the day before the attack on Israel. And in the same vision of this, the day that he gave me this passage, I didn't want the storm to come. It came anyway. And just like we saw on October 7th in Israel, innocent people perishing. So that's going to be the case here. It's time for everybody to get right with God. Amen? You don't want to go into eternity not right before the Lord. The passage goes on. Shall we rejoice in the scepter of my royal son? The sword despises every such stick. The sword is appointed to be polished. And then on down to verse 13. Testing will surely come. Do you know the day after President Trump was shot, the Lord took me right back. You know, I love the mornings. All kinds of stuff goes on in the daytime. I get on my knees at nighttime. I pray. I go to bed. And you know what happens? Dew from heaven comes down and cleanses the dirt off from the day before. Dew from heaven comes down and fructifies me. I always look forward to the mornings with the Lord. Because here President Trump had been shot. And I'm like, Lord, I'm looking forward to the morning. I can hear your point of view on this. He gave me Ezekiel 21 on the 14th of July. A passage where even the innocent are dying. Judgment from God. But listen, the judgment's not on you. Your judgment's been deferred to the cross of Christ. The judgment is on the evil that's run rampant in the land. God's come to put an end to it. I'm a little bit sad that America's not going to spread influence anymore. Well, I mean, I think America used to spread missionaries here and there and everywhere. But here lately, the influence that America has been spreading has been decadence. Not fear of God. Not reverence towards the Lord. He said, that's it. It's over. I'm putting an end to it. He has me here today preaching to an audience of one. Thank you for being part of, we're before the Lord, living before the Lord. I want to just do my part, like Jesus said. I lose my life. I want to follow you, Lord. Find your life. So what we saw in X from October 7th is coming to America. And when it does, I want you to, I hope the Holy Spirit will remind you, wait a minute, you must see yourself winning. I believe the Lord says that as He rescued the person who's standing in front of you from the ash heap of 9/11, so many will be saved as this catastrophe known as America works itself out, as God works out His plan. Many will be saved. The kingdom of God, it's going to be just fine. Ultimately, it's going to crush every other kingdom. We're going to have revival. But things are going to be different. Amen? Yeah. Y'all are like, man, this is not a good message, Pastor. Psalm chapter 10, it is a good message. Ezekiel said, he ate the scrolls and it was sweet as honey, even though it was words of woe and judgment. Just to have anything from God, it's sweet and good. Psalm chapter 10. I mean, you hear all kinds of preaching over the last few decades. Oh, well, God protects the innocent. And I think people need to spend some more time in the Bible. God gave me this passage on October 1st, 2017. The day of the Las Vegas massacre at a Christian gathering. A massacre. Lots of innocent people. Speaking of the evil in Psalm chapter 10, verse 7, his mouth is full of lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush, he murders the innocent. His eyes watch in secret for his victims. Like a lion in cover, he lies in wait. Jay, isn't that what we saw on October 7th too? He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. Skipping down to verse 12. Arise, Lord, lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Psalm chapter 10, verse 16 through 18. The Lord is king forever. The nations will perish from his land. Wow, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. That he's redeemed the earth and the fullness thereof from destruction. From our enemy, the devil. It's been delivered into the control of Almighty God. I don't pretend to understand everything. I'm just relaying with you. God saved me. I've been walking with him for a minute and I'm testifying. I'm sharing the truth. So here in Psalm chapter 10, you, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, so that mere earthly mortals will never again strike terror. The Lord has said the season is ended for opulence and decadence in America. We can actually be glad for that, but there could be some trouble between here and working that out. There were many people who testified that on September 11th, they were going to go to the Twin Towers, and the voice of God said, not today. Also, January 6th, many testimonies. I know one guy in particular, one of President Trump's close advisors, was taking a shower to go to the January 6th protest. He said God spoke to him. You're not going today. Stay home. Yeah, so when Jesus says, lose your life and you'll find it, that's not playing. You know, don't be like Saul. Yeah, I know God, he's good, but I'm going to go do this. No, be seeking the Lord. Lose your life to find His life for you. Because He's ordained good steps for you. Provision for you. Protection for you. And even still, apparently, some innocent will perish. And when that happens, you guys, we just have to broaden our understanding, our horizons of who God is. He is awesome. He does whatever He wants. Everything and everyone belongs to Him. Who it says in Daniel chapter 4, I think verse 35. the people of the earth are regarded as nothing. And that doesn't mean he doesn't value us. It says he does with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth all that he pleases. And no one can say to him, what have you done? No one can turn his hand back. In coming weeks and months, if you see the innocent perish, understand, God just said, I missed you. I had been longing for you. Taking his property back. You don't have to be afraid. No, see yourself winning. You must see yourself winning. Isaiah 51, verse 17 through 23. Awake, awake, rise up, Jerusalem. You have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath. Have we not drunk of the cup of God's wrath in the last couple of years? You who have drained it to its dregs. Now this is to the church. The goblet that makes people stagger. Among all the children she bore. Talking about the church. All the children Jerusalem bore. There was none to guide her. Among all the children she reared. There was none to take her by the hand. These double calamities have come upon you. Wow, because I saw the two like very destructive tornadoes. Very destructive storms. These double calamities have come upon you. Who can comfort you? Ruin and destruction, famine and sword. Who can console you? Your children have fainted. They lie at every street corner like antelope caught in a net. They're filled with the wrath of the Lord, with the rebuke of your God. And before we go on, we'll finish the passage because it turns to be a little bit nicer. I mean, better, depending on how you look at it. But the Lord showed me by revelation several years ago, more than five, that when God puts the cup of wrath in someone's hands, very often they go, gulp, gulp. That's delicious. Gulp, 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 gulp. And you can see that in America with all of the sexual perversion, all of the things going. People don't understand. Oh, you're enjoying that sin so much. You don't realize you're gulping down the cup of God's wrath. It leads to destruction. And I believe the Lord would like to take that out of our hand and give it to our enemies, the cup of his wrath. I mean, man, Jesus had good sense in Gethsemane, didn't he? He said, take this cup away from me. I don't want to drink it. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He satisfied God's wrath for you and me. The passage goes on in verse 21. Therefore, hear this, you afflicted one, made drunk, but not with wine. This is what your sovereign Lord says, your God who defends his people. See, I have taken out of your hand that cup that made you stagger. From that cup, the goblet of my wrath, you will never drink again. I will put it into the hands of your tormentors, who said to you, fall prostrate, that we may walk on you. And you made your back like the ground, like a street to be walked on. This is what the sovereign Lord says, your God who defends his people. I'm reminded of Psalm 81. He says, if only my people would listen to me and follow my ways, how quickly I would turn my hand against their enemies. Are we submitted to God? Are we trying to save our life? Are we saying, yeah, I know the Lord, and when he tells me to do something, I do it, you know, pretty much. But I also do what I think is good. I also do what I think is right. No, we don't want to do that. You want to do just what the Lord says. Understand and see, when he gives you that, it's your provision. Whatever his voice is, he's providing for you. Hallelujah. And again, I say that Jesus drank the cup of God's wrath so we wouldn't have to. Revelation 21:11 says, they overcame the enemy, they overcame Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. So we want to get after God, if it whatever it costs us. Saul didn't want to give up the king, Agag. He didn't want to give up what he considered to be good. Jesus said, you must lose your life to find your true life. Don't, quote, love your life so much. Love Him, the Lord, even more. I believe our whole time on earth is about swapping expressions of love. The Lord showed us His love by the cross of Christ. I love you this much. And then how do we respond? Romans chapter 12 says our only reasonable response is to surrender everything. I give you my life as a living sacrifice. It all belongs to you, Lord. Hallelujah. John chapter 4, 34 to 38. Instead of being like Saul and hearing from God and halfway doing God's will, Jesus set such a good example for us. John chapter 4, 34 to 38. My food, said Jesus. Oh, now wait a minute. That command or instruction, another definition is provision. My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Hallelujah. Psalm 105 says we fall heir to what others have toiled for, so that we can obey and worship the Lord. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to go verse 21 to 27. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now Jesus just said, my food, how I eat, how I'm fed, how I'm built up, is to do the Father's will. Here He's warning people. Not everybody's going to get in heaven. Some will be rejected, this passage goes on to say. No, it's the ones who consider God's will as their very provision. Your will is my provision. Your business is my business. Your life is my life. Your thoughts are my command. Amen? Lord, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Wait a minute, in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. There's a key there. We want to follow Jesus with abandonment. He will tell some plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Like He did Saul. We saw that example. And in a sense, it's kind of good news. I'm saying turbulence is coming. Hold on. Strap in. In air traffic control terms. Clear air turbulence ahead. You know, some clear air turbulence is so strong it destroys the frame of the aircraft, fall right out of the sky. And I'm saying turbulence is coming to America, but its purpose is to end the decadence.
The cleansing.
Yes, there's going to be revival. He got me out of the ashes of 9/11. There's going to be lots of people saved. His kingdom comes. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, not like King Saul, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down. The tornadoes came, you might say. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Wow. So as I was seeking the Lord and saw this message developing over the week, I just want to relate to how The Lord loves you and He loves me. His desire is not harm, but good. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God came to give us life and life abundantly. Some of these words the Lord spoke as I prepared for this message. You long for the creature your hands have made. God longs for the creature His hands have made. He longs for fellowship with you. Maybe you meet with Him in the morning. Maybe you meet with Him in the evening. Maybe you do both. And even throw in one in the middle of the afternoon. He longs for fellowship. It's not like He's going, oh, it's you again. No, He's like, come, I want to be with you. The Lord says, you are highly esteemed in His heart, in His sight. You're greatly valued. You're tremendously desired. He desires that His intimate friendship will bless your house. Intimate friendship with the Almighty. And what a great example we have in Don and Deb Hawkins. That was so wonderful recently when their extended family came, people getting baptized. God's intimate friendship blesses their house. That's such a great example. I tell you, I've been on my knees more than once since then, praising the Lord and accepting it for myself. Somebody said where the evidence of Jesus is, that's the spirit of prophecy.
Yes.
Yeah. And Don and Deb Hawkins and the blessing on their extended house is prophecy. This is what will happen to you if you seek the Lord and honor the Lord and follow the Lord. I'm receiving that. I'm praising God for Don and Deb. Thank you, Jesus. In conclusion, dovetailing with last week's message, we will never have a strong enough incentive to halt sinful choices and behaviors until we recognize that God is terrifyingly powerful and gloriously holy. So Lord, we ask You to work in us all that's pleasing to You. One of the promises we have, Isaiah chapter 11, is we have the spirit of delighting in reverencing God. Let's don't be like King Saul. He heard from the Lord. He did what he wanted. That's not delighting in reverencing God. No, to get through coming weeks and months and years, we need to remind ourselves, God crowns me with victory. There might be difficulties. There might be turmoil. But He crowns me with victory. I'm losing my life to walk in the life of God. And I receive, you can say it every morning, I receive the Holy Spirit of God delighting in reverencing God. Amen. We can delight in holiness. Those are the ones that are all the kingdoms of the earth, all the power and authority will be handed over to, and under Christ we'll rule forever. It said in Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you His peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.